Assalamualaikum, brother. Mereka.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Today, inshallah, we are going to do two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are closely related in terms of meaning. One is Ar-Rafi'u. Rafi'u means that being who's the exalter, who raises someone up, who gives a rank to a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rafi'u, that those who are obedient servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala exalts them, gives them a rank, raises them up. And there's another related name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Al-Mu'izzu. Al-Mu'izzu comes from Izzat, that being who gives honor, Izzat, rank, to dignity to a person. So Rafi'u comes from Rafa, to raise someone up in terms of their rank. And Mu'izzu comes from Izzat, the giver of Izzah, dignity, honor. And these are two very important names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of Izzat, He is the giver of rank, He is the giver of honor. And all of Izzat, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran, Allah says that this Izzat belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this Izzat to other people, to those who are obedient, to those who are the mu'mineen, and to his anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. So in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And in fact, before that Allah says فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, that Izzat belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the treasures of Izzah, Allah means might and mastery, it belongs to no one but Allah. And whenever some sort of Izzat or honor or rank is given to any person, it is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the other ayah, Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all honor, and for his messenger, and for the believers. Every person in the world, they want Izzat. They want honor, dignity, respect, rank. And there are two ways of getting Izzat. Either you can get Izzat through wealth, maal, dunya. And the second way to get Izzat is through deen, through your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through the neek actions, the pious actions that a person does. But there is a difference between the two types of Izzah. The Izzat and the honor person gets because of wealth, so that izzat, which is based upon wealth, we see so many times that that person who is honorable right now, but next day that person becomes, he's thrown out and he becomes a fakir. He's begging on the road. Today that person is the prime minister, and then tomorrow that person is placed behind bars. So the izzah that a person gets because of wealth, it's temporary and it's fleeting. And compared to that, the izzah, which is the true izzah, that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is based upon our a'mal. And these a'mal are baqiyatu salihat. They are forever. And hence this izzah that a person gets is not fleeting. But this is an izzah which is in this life, but also in akhirah. We think that izzat and honor lies in wealth and status and cars and the dunya that we have. But Quran is teaching us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that no, that's not izzat. That's a show, that's show off, that's prestige, that's reputation, which is fleeting and temporary. The real izzat, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this izzat to those people who follow Him. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It belongs to the mu'mineen, belongs to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say that we were the lowliest of the low, lowest in number, and weakest in strength among the people of the world at that time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us exceed in numbers and exceed in strength with the grace of Islam. فَعَذَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Allah graced us, gave us this izzah and honor because of this deen of Islam. And then he said that مَهْمَا تَطْلُبُ الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. So understand this very carefully, that if you seek honor from any source other than Allah, Allah will disgrace you. So the giver of izzah is Allah, and Allah gives izzat through this deen of Islam. This is the hakiki izzat. And the thing that we view to be izzah, that's not a real izzah. That's temporary and fleeting. So in the deen of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a few things through which a person can, some things that can give honor and a rank to a person. And we want to look at those things. There are 6 points. These are those things that give us honor and rank, the hakiki izzah, the true izzah, which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing that elevates a person's rank is called taqwa. Allah says, "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." Yani in Surah Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we have created you, O insan, ya ayyuhan nas, O insan, إِنَّا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْسَى that we have created you men and women. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا, and we have made tribes from you. وَقَبَائِلًا, and قَبِيلَةً, لِتَعَارَفُوا, so that you may know one another. These tribes and communities that you have, they're only for you to help. They're only to help you so that people can know you, recognize you. You can have your introduction, not for fazilat or merit or virtue. No black has any merit over any white. No white has merit over black. And then Allah gives us an usul, a golden principle. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. That the person who has the greatest honor, izzat, dignity, respect in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, atqakum, is that person who has the highest level of taqwa. Taqwa means that a person abstains from sin out of a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a fear of Allah, and an awareness and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person, all human beings are same. An-nasu kulluhum banu Adam. All of humanity are children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Wa Adamu khuliqa min turabin. And Adam alayhi salam was created from mud. Every person is equal in that sense. The only mark of fazila and honor and a rank in the sight of Allah, that's based on taqwa. Whoever has high level of piety and taqwa, they stay away from sins, that person will be more mu'azziz, honorable in the sight of Allah. This is the result, a beautiful result of this ayat of the Quran. And that is what the Prophet ﷺ said also in his favorite pilgrimage, that no Arabi, no Arab has any fazilat on a non-Arab, and no non-Arab has any fazilat over an Arab. Illa bitaqwa, except based on taqwa. That's the reason why Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because of his taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him honor. Sayyidina Bilal Habashi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, no looks, no qabul, no qabiliya, neither in looks, nor in status, nor in lineage, nor in wealth, nor in intelligence, nor in learning. The whole list that we have, he had none of it. No accomplishment, no achievement, no attainment. He was a slave. However, he had his ahad. And he had his taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up. And raised him to such a degree that he became Mu'azzani Rasul. Mu'azzani Madina. He was the giver of azan. All the sahaba, all of their ears, the ears of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, the ears of all the Sahaba will bear witness to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, his testimony of kalima, every azan. All the Sahabiyat will testify to the kalima of Hazrat Bilal. Every single speck of mud in Medina Munawwara will testify to the kalima of Hazrat Bilal. They began their day with his Allahu Akbar. His taking of the Isme Azam, Isme Jalala, Allah, was the beginning of the breaking of the fast for all the Sahaba. And he was given such an izzat, such an elevation, ar-rafi'u. Allah gave him such an elevation that once he was made to stand on top of Kaaba, Baytullah Sharif, and make azan there. And seeing him, one person asked, oh Bilal, oh Habash, the blackest of black skins, now look where Allah has put you. Allah raised him up. He was so makbul that whenever he walked on this earth, Allah used to have his footsteps fall in Jannah. Fall in Jannah. So, taqwa raises a person up. And we see this even in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a beautiful story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the lesson of that story? That Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, he was tested in that palace. And he was raised up in that palace, Javani, young. He had a lot of food and drink, aram, comfort. And at that time, in that environment, he was invited towards sin. By whom? By the wife of the king, himself. But the king's wife invited him. And then she closed the door. She's not a common woman, right? And then Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam is also fully young at that time. She closed the door and she tried to call him and wanted him, forced him to commit that sin. First, she tried to seduce him and tempt him. And then when Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam refused, then she tried to coerce him and force him and said that if you don't do this, then I will imprison you, put you behind bars. And in that situation, Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam, he said, Ma'azallah, he had the azmat of Allah. He said, I cannot break the hukum of Allah. This was his taqwa. And then he ran away from that place. And then the woman, she tore his garment from the back. So zahiri, outwardly, the garment became torn, but the libas, the clothing of taqwa, remained intact. And Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam preferred to go behind bars than to say labbaik to that dawah, to that invitation of that sin from that woman. So Hazrat Yusuf al-Islam, he protected himself. He had taqwa. And this was a very big sacrifice to give. Very big sacrifice that you are being invited towards that sin and you are saying, no, I will not commit this sin. I would rather prefer to go into the jail. It's a musiba to be in the jail, but at least it's not a masiya. There's a difficulty and hardship in jail, but I'll be away from sin. So he went inside that jail. But because of his taqwa, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then changed the halat and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him in'am. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him to that place, to that status, to that rank, that he had all the treasures in his hand. The king, he realized that the fault was not Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam, it was his own wife. He set him out, and then the king said that, إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَ مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ, that from now on you will have a very high rank with us. He was yesterday a slave, a convict in behind bars. But because of his taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the halat in such a way that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the finance minister of the entire country. No opposition, no wealth, no friends, no tribe, nothing. Without any asbab, any worldly means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the king of the time. And then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran is then later on when the brothers, they came. If you know the story, Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam, when the brothers came to request some food and wheat from him, they weren't able to recognize that it's their brother, Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam, sitting at the throne. But Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam recognized. So the brothers, they came and said, that Ya Ayyuhal Aziz, that O Aziz, O King, O Ruler, that we are in a lot of difficulty. We and our family members back home, we don't have enough wheat, enough food. So, what the saddaq alayna? Can you give some sadaqah, some charity to us? And Allah will reward those who gives charity. Yani, we don't have full price that we can pay to you, but we want some wheat, some food from you. So, if you can give us some sadaqah, some khairat, some charity, if you can give something to us on the name of Allah, and Allah will give ajr and reward to the people who give sadaqah. So when Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam, he heard this coming from the tongue of his brothers, that these people, they're begging me, they're pleading me, they're begging me. So he also thought that at the end of the day, they're also the sons of a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Yaqub al-Islam. And now they've reached such a stage that they're before me and they're begging me and they're asking me in the name of Allah. So then at that time, Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam, he opened his secret and asked, Hal alimtum ma fa'altum bi Yusuf? That do you know what you did with Yusuf? And the brothers, they were amazed. They weren't expecting that there would be someone who would even know the name of Yusuf alayhi salam. Because they, in their own plan, had thought that we have taken care of him, we have put him inside that well, and he would have died there. And that's the end of the story. So when they heard this name Yusuf, they were amazed. And then they asked, Innaka la anta Yusuf? Said, oh, are you Yusuf? And then Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam replied, Ana Yusuf, wa hadha akhi. I am Yusuf, and this is my brother. Qad manna Allahu alayna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done a favor upon us. Innahu, this is the punchline. Innahu man yattaqi wa yasbir. And the reality is that whoever has taqwa and sabr, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُدِيءُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste the amal, the actions of such a person. The ajr, the reward of such a person who excel in doing good deeds. So, مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَسْبِرْ. These are two qualities, taqwa and sabr, because of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives izzah, honor, dignity, rank to that person in this dunya and also in the next world. The second thing that gives honor to a person is humility. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Man tawaza'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. That whoever acquires humility, tawazu, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will raise that person up. Allah loves humility. If someone announces himself to be big, doesn't make him big. Big is that person when Allah raises him up. That person has izzah, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives izzah. It's not me and you. But Allah raises that person. And look at the ayah, look at the hadith. Man tawaza'a lillah, whoever acquires humility for the sake of Allah, rafa'ahu Allah. Allah will elevate that person. And when Allah elevates any person, then that person becomes elevated. When Allah gives izzat to a person, that person becomes mu'azziz. When Allah gives honor to a person, that person becomes honorable. We have a beautiful example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet went to Ta'if. All of you know the treatment. Then not a single soul accepted the message of Iman, of Islam. And instead, they started pelting him with stones. So the Prophet ﷺ took a refuge in a garden. And then Angel Jibreel came and said that make baddu'a, we'll crush these mountains together, destroy the whole community. But the Prophet ﷺ said that I will not make baddu'a. And at that time he made a du'a of humility before Allah. Allahumma inni abduk. Allah, I'm your servant. Wabnu abdik, son of your bond servant. Wabnu amatik, son of your female bond servant. Nasiyatu biyadik, my forehead, Allah, is in your hands. Qazin fi hukmik, your decision is for me. Whatever you decide will be for me. Adlun fi qazaik, and whatever you decide for me will be just. And then Allah, who are you handing me towards? Allah, these strangers who are so bitter against me. Allah, these enemies who don't know me. Oh Allah, if you're pleased with me, that even if the whole world is angry, I don't care. And oh Allah, if you're angry, then it's necessary that I please you and that I keep on pleasing you until you become pleased with me, until you become razi with me. Every word you can see humility. Humility is dripping. Servanthood is dripping. Bandagi is dripping from this dua of the Prophet ﷺ. This was the intiha of ajazi. This was the limit of humility. And then after this humility, after this incident of Ta'if, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet ﷺ with Miraj. The greatest height any creation could attain. Man tawaza'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Prophet ﷺ, took the Prophet ﷺ with all the way up, above the seven skies, seven heavens, into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where no other creation can go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives rank and honor to those people who lower themselves, humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who humble themselves before Allah. That's why if you look in Salah also, the closest a person is when they're in Sajda. when we humble ourselves and we go down and we put our forehead on the ground as a sign of humility and ajizi, at that time Allah says, I'm closest to you. This is an ayat of the Quran. I don't want to decide because what sajda will become wajib. That you do sajda and waqtarib and you attain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you have done your utmost to humble yourself before Allah, then Allah will do his utmost to lift you up. In sajda, you get this nearness to Allah, the likes of which a person can never get any other posture. It's the same principle. Man tawaza'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, cause me to live with humility. Allahumma ahyini miskinan wa amitni miskinan wa ashurni fi zumratil masakin. Allah, cause me to live with humility and cause me to die with humility and cause me to be raised up on the day of judgment among those people who are humble. This was to allow me to live a simple lifestyle, have simplicity, not to be arrogant and proud, but Allah, to be become humble and submissive before you. So the Prophet ﷺ's dua was this. It wasn't that Allahumma ahyini siddiqa or Allahumma ahyini saliha or Allahumma ahyini abida. Because when you make dua with this, Allah, cause me to live like a siddiq or a salih or a worshipper, there is a dawa here. There is a claim that you're making. But the Prophet ﷺ preferred a simple word. Allah, cause me to live with miskina, with humility, with simplicity. Subhanallah. Man tawaza'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. All of you know the simple lifestyle of the Prophet ﷺ. Then, same thing you see, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he was a model of humility. Such a lofty stature that after the Anbiya, the greatest rank among all humanity and jinn combined is that of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. And he had so much humility that the Prophet ﷺ said, Man arada an yanzuru ilal mayti alal ard, that if someone wants to see a dead man walking on the ground, fal yanzur ila ibn Abi Kahafa, you should look at the son of Abi Kahafa, yani Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu an. He would make dua to Allah that, oh Allah, I wish I was the blade of a grass or I was some kind of a leaf which the animal would eat and I wouldn't have to present myself before you. He had so much fear, so much humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him such a lofty stature because of this humility. Man tawaza'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. Whoever lowers and humbles themselves before Allah, Allah raises that person up. And then you look at Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. He also had so much humility that he used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allahumma ja'al fi ayni saghira, that Allah, make me small in my eyes. Make me small, saghir in my eyes. Wa fi a'yunin nasi kabira, and make me big in the eyes of other people. Allah, in my own eyes, I want to be small. I want to have humility, be humble and simple. But in the eyes of other people, make me strong, make me big, so that when I do some work of deen, they can follow me. And this would be an assistance in doing work of deen and dawah. And as a result of that humility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up and gave him such a rank and stature. Subhanallah. Such a stature that he was the conqueror of Baitul Muqaddas. The Muslims, when they were conquering, this was the Khalifa, the Caliphate of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. The Muslims may not have been able to conquer it through battle. And they said that, well, they sent a peyagam, a message there to people, to the Jews living in Baitul Muqaddas. And they said, there is no need to fight. Send your Amir al-Mu'mineen. Send your leader, right? Send your Amir al-Mu'mineen, and his signs are present in our Torah. And if those signs are present in your Amir al-Mu'mineen, in the Muslim Amir al-Mu'mineen, then we will hand over the keys of Bayt al-Muqaddas to the Muslims without any fight, without any resistance. And if those signs are not present, try what you may, you will never be able to defeat us. So when this message reached Madina Munawwara, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that I'll go and meet them. And he went out and he was wearing old clothes. And someone said to him, they did counsel him that, why don't you wear new clothes, new dress? So he took it off and he wore the new dress. But then he took off that new dress and said that, I don't feel that noor. He wore his old patched up dress again and said that there's more noor in these clothes. And then he set out on this journey to Bayt al-Muqaddas and he went with one of his helpers, one of his ulam. And he made a pact, a pledge with him that on the way, 1 mile I will walk and you can ride the animal and I will hold the rope of that animal while you're riding. And the other mile I will ride and you can walk and you can hold the rope of that animal. It so happened that in the last stretch, when they were about to enter the city, it was the turn for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to walk. So the helper, he gave his own turn and said that, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, that I give my own turn, you can ride, I will walk. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, no. He was the one who will establish justice in that country. He said, no, you keep sitting, I will walk. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he entered that city, Bayt al-Muqaddas, holding the camel's rope in his own hand. And people saw and said that this is Torah. In our Torah, there are certain signs that when the person who will enter into Bayt al-Muqaddas, the leader of the Muslim army, when they will enter, they will have number one, the first sign, their face will be munawwar, face will be illuminated. Number two, the clothes will be patched. Number three, the ghulam will be riding. The helpers will be riding and he himself will be walking. And that person, the leader, will be holding the rope of a camel. And they saw all four conditions, all four signs being fulfilled. They came and gave the keys without any fight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an Fatih of Bayt al-Muqaddas. He conquered Bayt al-Muqaddas without any fight. When a person lowers themselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives izzah to that person. Allah sends assistance and help to that person. The third thing which gives rank and honor and dignity to a person is taluk with the Quran. This Quran is a book which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us. Kitabun anzallahu ilayk. Why? Litukhrijan nas. It will extract human beings minaz zulumati ila nur. Will take people out from darknesses and bring them into light. It's a book. The function of this book is to guide those who are misguided. It's to take humans out of darkness into light. It's to take people who are in the depth of abasement to the heights of the stars. It's the book that joins the people who are separated from Allah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And understand, it's a principle of Islamic law, fiqh, that you cannot touch the cover of the Quran without wudu. Why? Because the cover, even though it's an additional thing, it's a cardboard. But because that cardboard, that cover has a nisbat with the Quran, it has an attachment and a connection with the Quran. So now that cover becomes Qaim Maqam the Quran, will have the same rank and honor and dignity like the Quran. Just like you cannot touch the huruf of the Quran without wudu, you cannot even touch the cover, that cardboard, without wudu. So imagine if that cardboard, that cover, has an attachment with the Quran and as a result of that attachment gets that same rank and dignity like the Quran, then that individual, if a person develops taluq with the Quran, they have a connection and relationship with the Quran, that his rank will also increase in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Quran is a book through which people will get izzah. When I say the word cycle, you immediately think that cycle is something that will take us from point A to point B. If I say the word truck, you think about a truck, something which can carry the load from one area, from one place to another. When I say the word crane, you think about something that can lift an object which is lying on the ground and elevate it and take it to some height. In the same way, when I say the word Quran, Quran is that book which can take people who are lying on the ground. It picks them up and gives them rank in the sight of Allah, gives them izzat. It guides those people who are astray. Those people who have no rank and status are zaleel. This book will give them izzat and honor and dignity. So whoever does muhabbat with the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give izzat to that person. There's a story about the formation or the foundation of the Ottoman Caliphate. And that started because of this one man whose name was Usman. He was a Turkish and he was a pious person. And one day he was a guest at someone's place and he slept, but he didn't realize that his feet were facing the Quran. And when he woke up at the time of Tahajjud, he saw that my feet accidentally were facing the Quran, and he wept. And he wept so much that I've been disrespectful to the Quran. He had love for the Quran, so he felt that. And he wept so much, and that night after Tahajjud, he made dua to Allah. And then at the time of Fajr, he met one sheikh. And that sheikh asked him that, why are you crying? And he mentioned his whole story. So the sheikh said, don't worry, that you have this taluq with the Quran, this muhabbat with the Quran, you're doing izzat of the Quran. Because of this izzat and honor that you have in your heart about the Quran, Allah will give you izzat. Allah will give you honor. Now, go set out in the name of Allah and Allah will be your helper. So that sheikh, he sent him with du'as, and that person, he went out. And when he went out, there were some other 15, 20 young men who also were willing to dedicate their life for the sake of deen. And they were looking and searching for some person who could be their leader. And no one was willing to become a leader. So they decided the next day, whoever enters the city first at the time of morning, he will become our leader. And they saw that Usman was the person who entered, and they said that we want to make you our leader. So Usman said, fine, inshallah, I'll become your leader. All of them were very pious, young, energetic, and they dedicated themselves for the sake of deen. So they went, wherever they would go, they would enter one village and people would look and say that they are so young and beautiful and people who have taqwa and piety. So they would, and they've also dedicated themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a few more people will join that rank, will join that jamaat, will join that group. And the numbers kept on increasing to hundreds and then eventually 1,000. And then they did mashwara that in a nearby area, city, there is a border town where there's some unbeliever who's a king, unbelieving ruler, and he's causing a lot of difficulty for the Muslims living in that area. So they thought that why shouldn't we go there and make it easy for the people there and maybe fight the Christian ruler? So as they were entering and approaching that city, so someone conveyed this news inside that city to the ruler and said that there were about 1,000 young men with a lot of passion and jazba, every single one of them willing to give their life. They are intending to come and attack your city, and our army will not be able to stand against them. So it's better that we make some kind of reconciliation. So that king was a Christian, he was very old, and he himself did not want to fight. So he sent a message that we also want reconciliation, and said that I have a daughter and I'm willing to present my daughter in marriage. And this was a sign of proof that I'm true in my promise. That don't fight with us, don't attack us. So the men, they also did mashwara, and the young, they said that, okay, we'll accept this. And the daughter of that king, she became a Muslim, and then she came in the nikah of Usman. Now Usman started leading his life now in that city. And it so happened that the king, he only had one daughter. He had no other aulad, no other children. And when, after a few days, when the king passed away and people were thinking about an alternative, a representative, someone who could lead them, they found no one better suited for that job than the son-in-law, Usman. So they made Usman the king. And the whole kingdom came in the hands of Usman. So that Usman, who was forced, who had the respect for Quran, and because of that respect for Quran, the izzat that he had for Quran, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that Usman izzat and made him the king of that area. So this kingdom, this Ottoman caliphate, how it all started was actually because of the barakah of Quran. So whoever attaches themselves with Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them izzat. This is the usloob, this is the principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to understand this principle. That's why at the time of the Prophet sallam, there was a Jew by the name of Banu Qurayz. There was a Jew trader whose name was Salam bin Jubair. And he once went to buy some goods in Syria, and there he saw there was a slave who was also being sold, so he bought that slave. Even though he realized that the shakal, it doesn't have a good appearance and doesn't have any skill. And the person who was selling, he was just wanted to get rid of him. So he thought that it's a cheap price, cheap bargain, let me buy him. And maybe I can sell him at a higher price. So the name of that ghulam, that slave, was Salim. And Salam brought him to Madina Munawwara. And he would then sell his goods, and he wanted to sell his ghulam also, his slave, but no one was buying him because he had no skills. And then later it became such a liability for him that he was just looking to get rid of him. And at that time there was one woman in Madina Munawwara who saw, and she said that, okay, I'm going to purchase. And she purchased that ghulam Salim. So when Salim came to her house, later she also got married to a person by the name of Abu Huzaifa. Now both Abu Huzaifa and his wife, they would live, and they had the ghulam by the name of Salim. Now Abu Huzaifa, he was a friend of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an. Both were business partners, trade partners. And then when Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, he accepted Islam, and Abu Huzaifa asked him that, I think you look a bit different. Right? You're not engaging with me the same way you used to engage with me before. And Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala said to him that, yes, I have accepted the kalima, and I have accepted the Prophet sallam, and that's the difference between me and you, that I believe in one Allah and you believe in Lat and Manat. I've become a Muslim. So when he said this, Abu Huzaifa, he also felt that you were we were close friends. So if you have been impacted so much, let me also meet your Prophet and see. So he went and came and saw the Prophet sallam, and when the Prophet sallam invited him, Abu Huzaifa, he also accepted Islam. Abu Huzaifa, when he came back home, so his wife, she saw that he has so much sukoon and tranquility and peace on his face, so much nur on his face. She asked him, what happened? He said, I became a Muslim. And she was a pious wife. She said that, I also want to become a Muslim. So she also accepted Islam. When the husband and wife, they accepted Islam, so they called their ghulam Salim. And they said that, we have accepted Islam, you can also accept Islam. They mentioned the fazila and the virtues and the merits of accepting. So he also accepted Islam. And when he accepted Islam, the wife, she said that, look, the Prophet has taught us that we should set our ghulam free So I'm setting him free for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she set that slave Salim free, but Salim was so attached to that family, he said that I want to be in your house. So Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he adopted him as his own child. And he became known as Salim bin Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then he went and he would learn Quran. He spent time in the company of the Prophet learning the Quran, ilm of Quran. And he learned so much ilm of the Quran that a point came that when the Muhajireen, they made hijrat to Madina Munawwara. And in Madina Munawwara, people were searching for a suitable imam to lead them who could recite Quran properly and beautifully. They found no one else more suited for that job than Salim bin Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala an. And in the books, it's written that at that time, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, he was also present. But despite his presence, Salim bin Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala an, he was asked to lead them in jamaz, in namaz, in salah. He would be leading, he would be standing on the musalla, and Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an would be behind him. And at that time, when that Jew Salim, right, when the Jew Salam, right, he saw that this Salim who I sold, this Salim is standing and leading the Muslims in the musalla, he was surprised. He was stunned. Right? And they recognized him and said, this is that same kid that no one was buying. And we had to sell him at such a paltry price. And we just had to get rid of him somehow. He was a musibat for us that no one was willing to buy him. And now that lowly thing, that lowly person who was lying on the ground with no price whatsoever, that kid is now the imam of all the Muslims. So someone asked them, right? They asked some people, the Sahaba, that why have you made him your imam? So they replied that out of among us, there is no person who has learned Allah's Quran better than Salim bin Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala. So Quran, whoever has an attachment with the Quran, you might be lying low on the ground, flat on the ground, with no rank and izzat and status. Quran picks such a person and gives them the pinnacle, the height of izzat and dignity. It's that book. Whoever does muhabbat with Quran, Allah will give izzat to that person. And hence we see this also, that this is an usul, that whoever got izzat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had a taluk with the Quran. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would say that inna Allah yarfa'u bihadhal kitabi akwama, that Allah has raised communities and societies because of this kitab, Quran. Wherever sahaba, they embraced the Quran, wherever they would go, they would succeed. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once going with an army, and on his way, he stopped at the foot of a hill. It was summertime. People were sweating. And since Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu was standing, the whole army was standing too. And he was looking downwards towards the hill. And a man asked the reason, why are you stopping? The whole army is waiting for you. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu replied, that I used to come here for grazing camels before Islam when I was young. And my father used to beat me and tell me, Umar, how would you ever succeed in life? You don't even know how to graze camels. And I'm thinking about today, when because of the blessing of Quran, I've been appointed as an Amirul Mu'mineen. Main apni aukaat yaad kar raha hu. Whoever got dignity, izzat in this world, you will find that that person had a taluk with the Quran. Either they had a taluk with the Quran, or they had the du'as of a person who was an ashiq-e-Quran, who was a lover of Quran. It's one of those two. Either they themselves have a love for the Quran, or they have the du'as of a person who is a lover of the Quran. Any person you look at in Islamic history, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, lover of Quran. He would be crying, he would be reciting Quran. Any difficulty reading Quran. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Quran. Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, he was martyred while reading Quran. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he was a city of ilm. He was Quran. And then look at the Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, 63 Qurans he would recite in one Ramadan. He would recite Quran from Isha to Fajr. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, he traveled from Makkah Mukarma to Madinah Tayyibah. In 16 days, he completed 16 Quran. People of Izzat, behind that you will see they had a taluk with the Quran. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah, he gave so much sacrifice, willing to sacrifice his own life for the masala of Quran. And for those who are familiar with Tablighi Jamaat, Mulana Ilyas rahmatullah was the founder of that Jamaat, which has a lot of Kabuliya these days. His father used to teach Quran to kids. Not many people know this. His father spent his entire life in Khidmat-e-Quran. He was Ashik-e-Quran. And when you have a father who is an Ashik-e-Quran, a lover of Quran, and you have the du'as of such a father, then Allah accepted his son for this incredible work of da'wah and tabligh. You look at anyone whom Allah gave izzah, honor, rank, either they are the lovers of Quran or behind them you have the du'as of a lover of Quran. May Allah give us such a true love for the Quran. Not a single day should pass without this tilawat, even if one page. Every day have a dosage of Quran, Quran contact. This nisbat with Quran will improve and increase your nisbat in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jisko Allah ne uthaya hai, Quran ki mohabbat ki wajah se uthaya. Number four, the fourth thing which increases the rank of a person, which gives izzat and honor to a person, is studying the deen and the ilm of deen, religious knowledge. And Allah says in Quran, Qul, that O my beloved Messenger, tell the people, Hal yastavil ladina ya'lamuna wal ladina la ya'lamun? Can those people who have knowledge of deen be equal to those people who don't have knowledge? Yani those people cannot be equal in the sight of Allah. Those who have knowledge of deen, who are studying ilm-e-deen, Allah will raise them up. They have a rank in the sight of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and told the angels that I'm about to create Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the angels, they said that, why are you creating someone as a khalifa who will cause bloodshed and fasad? And we are here to go to glorify you, to do your tasbih. And Allah said, inni alamu ma la ta'lamun, that I know what you don't know. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam ilm. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah taught Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam ilm, ilmul asma, yani ilmul ashya. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels that, can you tell me the names of those things? And they said, سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. That we cannot tell you that. We don't have that ilm. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam that, can you tell me the name of that? And Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam told the names of all those things. So Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he passed in that exam. And when he passed that examination, Allah gave him an inam, a reward. And the reward was, like in dunya also, when you pass an examination, you get a reward, you get a certificate. So that you remember that certificate for your whole life, that I was successful in that test. So when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam passed that test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him and gave him an inam. And that inam was that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was made masjudul malaika. All the angels were told to do sajda to him. So why? Because Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam had ilm. He had fazilat. He was honorable because of the ilm that he had. And because of that ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told all the malaika that they're doing sajda to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. So whoever has ilm, the rank increases in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have a very big muhaddis and a very big jurist by the name of Atta ibn Abi Rabah rahmatullah alayhi. This sacred knowledge, it raises the status of a lowly person. Many scholars in our tradition were very unknown. Unknown, unappreciated before they became scholars. Atta ibn Abu Rabah rahmatullah, for example, he was black. He was black. And he was not pleasant to look at. And it said about him that Atha ibn, that he was Wakana Atha Aswad Aswada. He was black. A'wara. And he was one-eyed. Aftasa. And he had snub-nosed. Ashalla. He was lame. A'raja. And he was limping. Summa Ama. And finally, he also became blind as well. He was black, one-eyed, snub-nosed, lame, limping, and finally became blind. But he was a jurist, a scholar, person who had sacred knowledge. And as a result of that sacred knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the status of that individual, of that person, and raised him to such a degree that at that time, Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, who was the caliph, khalifa of that time, he came to Atha. He came to him with his two sons. And he asked Atha ibn Abu Rabah, rahmatullah, some masla about the rites of Hajj and pilgrimage. He answered those questions while turning his face away from them. And the Khalifa, he got the answer. And then when he was turning around and going back, the Khalifa said to his two sons, that Kuma, this is a line worth listening to. Kuma, oh my sons, get up. Get up. Wala taniya, and do not be lazy. Wala takasala fi talab al-ilm. Do not do susti. Don't be lackadaisical and lazy in seeking and acquiring ilm. Fama ansa zullana baina yaday hadha al-abd al-aswadi. For I shall never ever forget this humiliation and embarrassment that I had to face today in front of this black slave. That the Khalifa had to come and he had to beg and ask question, and he was answered in such a way where the person was not even looking at him. When Allah raises a person because of sacred knowledge, Al-Hasan ibn Sirin, Makhul, so many other people, they were given honor, they attained the status because of their knowledge, because of their sacred knowledge. Aun bin Abdullah rahmatullah alayh, he says that I said to Umar bin Abdulaziz rahmatullah alayh, that if you can become a scholar and alim, then become a scholar. And if you cannot become an alim, then become a talib ilm, become a student of knowledge. And if you cannot become a student of knowledge, then at least become someone who has love for the students of sacred knowledge. And if you cannot even have that love for the students of sacred knowledge, then please don't be someone who has bughz or enmity, hatred, and spite for the students of sacred knowledge. Because this is the way through which a person gets barakah and izzah. Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an, he was made the leader, he was made the imam, the mufti, and the judge, and sent to Yemen. And he had such a fazilat that all the people of Yemen were told to obey him. And in one of his sermons, in one of his conversation, he said to the people of Yemen that acquire ilm, because whoever learns ilm gives him khashiyya, and ilm is ibadah. And when you revise your ilm, that's tasbih. And when you discuss masail of ilm, that's like jihad. And because of this ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives rank, izzah, and honor to a person. Allah ta'ala makes them the leader, makes them the qa'id, makes them the ruler. That other people, then they follow him. He becomes the imam, and other people are doing ittiba, they're following that person. This is because of ilm. There's a very famous story and a dialogue that happened between a person known as Shihab Zuhri and the caliph of that time, Abdul Malik. And Abdul Malik, he asked Zuhri, who was a very big muhaddis, that can you tell me the leaders of different provinces of the Muslim empire right now? Who are the imams? Who are the leaders? Who are the people going and following when they need to ask any masala? So these people would be people very honorable, right? People with a lot of rank and dignity. So he asked him that, who are these people? So Zohri asked, said, tell me, take the names and I'll tell you. So Abdul Malik, he asked that, where are you coming from? Zohri replied, I'm coming from Makkah Mukarrama. So Abdul Malik said that, who is the Imam of Makkah Mukarrama? He replied, Atta bin Rabah. He asked that, is he from an Arab Khandan, Arab family, or is he a slave? And Zohri said that he is a slave. Then Abdul Malik asked that, Atta, how did Atta get this maqam and this rank? And Zohri replied, he got this because of ilm-e deen and because of narration of hadith. And Abdul Malik said that, yes, these are two things through which a person gets izzat, honor, and rank. Then he asked, Acha, tell me about Yemen. Who is the leader? Zohri replied, Taus bin Kasyan. Is he an Arab or is he a slave? He is a slave. Acha, tell me about Egypt. Who is the leader there? Yazid bin Hasib. Is he an Arab or is he a slave? He is also a slave. Acha, tell me about Syria, Sham. Who is the leader there? Replied, Makhul. Is he an Arab or is he a slave? He is also amongst the slave. Now Abdul Malik was parishan. He was getting worried and his tone was changing. He asked that, okay, tell me about Jazeera, about Dajla and Furat, Euphrates and Tigris, the area there. He said, Maimun bin Mahran, is he an Arab or is he a slave? He is also a slave. Acha, tell me about Iraq. Who's the faqih? Who's the jurist there? He said, Hassan bin Abil Hassan and Muhammad bin Sirin. Are they both Arabs or are they slave? So they're also slave. So tell me about Medina Munawwara. Who's the jurist living there? He said, Zaid bin Aslam, Muhammad bin Al-Munqadir, Nafi bin Abi Najih. Who are these people? Are they Arabs or are they slave? All three of them are slave. It became very difficult for Abdul Malik to digest now. He was sweating. He was sweating and he was asking, what is the masala? All these people are slaves. And then Abdul Malik asked, Acha, tell me about Khurasan, Central Asia. Who is the Imam there? He replied, Zuhaq bin Mazahim, Atta bin Abdullah Kharasani. Who are these people? They're also slave. And Abdul Malik said, Wailak, that is there no one who is not a slave? Are all these leaders slaves? Every province? And Abdul Malik himself was an Arab. And he wanted to hear at least one Arab. And then at that time he asked again, okay, tell me about Kufa, that who is the Imam in Kufa? And Zohri replied, Ibrahim Nakhi and Sha'bi. And while replying, he said that at this point, I realized that if I had taken the name of a ghulam, of a slave who were there at that time, Hamad was a slave and Hakam bin Utbah were slave. But if I had taken the name of those two slaves, Abdul Malik would not have been able to bear this. So that's why I mentioned two other names and these were Arabs. So he asked me that, who are these? And I said, they are Arabs. And then Abdul Malik became caught some itman and got his breath back. And then he said that, Zohri, you almost killed me. Then in the entire Muslim empire, all the qazis, all the jurists, all the leaders, all the imams, all the marja, all of them are slave. Now we should think that because of this, how did these slaves got this? How did they get this rank? Today, if you are a civil judge in a country, in a city, people salute you, right? They give you izzat and honor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave these slaves that honor, rank and dignity. Why? Because of the ilm that they had. Because of sacred knowledge. So ilm gives rank, izzat and dignity to a person. Number five is speaking the truth. Whoever speaks truth, Allah will give them izzat. The Prophet ﷺ said that even if you see halakat, even if you're seeing your destruction in speaking the truth, you should still speak the truth. Because Allah will give you izzat. Allah will eventually, ultimately give you izzat. As-sidku yunji wal-kizba yuhlik. That sidq and speaking the truth will give you najat. And speaking a lie will always lead to destruction. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about five blessings, five rewards a person gets for speaking the truth. One of them is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes that person's difficulty, grants them sukoon. Mudkhala sidqin. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person ghalba and domination over the enemies. Makhraja sidqin. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that person honor on the tongue of people. People are praising that individual. That person is popular. That person becomes mu'azziz and honorable in that society. Lisana siddiqin, like Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then number four, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a high rank. Qadama siddiqin. And not just here, but even in akhirah, maq'ada siddiqin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them izzat even in akhirah. So whoever speaks the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them izzat in this life and gives them izzat in the next life. And that's why even the Prophet is saying that even if you're seeing halakat with your own eyes, that if I speak the truth, I will be destroyed. The Prophet is saying that still speak the truth. Allah will give you izzat. In Ghazwat Tabuk, when 10,000 Sahaba, they marched in the company of the Prophet, there were a few Sahaba who remained behind, who were not able to pass, who were not able to go forward. One of them, Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an. And because he had some wealth and some crop and season time, and he wanted to take care of his field first, and then he had the irada intention to catch up and join the Muslim army, he got delayed. And he kept on delaying until he heard the news that the Prophet is now returning back. And at that time, he became very sad and very anxious and worried. And eventually the Prophet came back to Medina Munawwara, and all the munafiqeen and hypocrites were not able to go. They were coming to the Prophet and telling their excuses that this happened, that happened, this happened, that happened, and that's why we weren't able to come. And the people suggested to me also that like these munafiqeen, you can also go and make up some excuse. And the Prophet will accept that excuse. Just like the Prophet is accepting the excuses of these hypocrites and munafiqeen, you can also go and make up an excuse. It's no big deal. But Hazrat Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that no, I will speak the truth. And he went and he told the truth to the Prophet that I got delayed because of my own laziness, because of my own worldly duties and my worldly tasks that delayed me. And the Prophet said to him that as now we will wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees a matter and Allah ta'ala tells us how to deal with the situation. And the meanwhile, there was a complete boycott. The Prophet said to the Sahaba that don't speak to Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an until we get a decision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one would speak to him in that whole city of Medina Munawwara. Hatta that even the wife was told that you should also not speak to your husband. This was a test from Allah. And these days kept on going. And Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that I was so worried, I was so anxious that I would come and I would say and come and meet people, but people would turn away from me. And sometimes I would be looking at the Prophet ﷺ. Is the Prophet ﷺ looking at me in my direction? And he won't be looking. And then while I would be praying, I would notice that the Prophet ﷺ is looking in my direction. But the moment I would complete my salah and look at him, then the Prophet ﷺ would turn his face away. And I would feel constricted in my heart that what if I die in such a state? What will happen to me in Akhirah? If the Prophet ﷺ is turning away from me, then what will happen to me? And this kept on continuing for days. And eventually, there was some neighboring country, there was a ruler there who sent a message through some messenger to Hazrat Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala an, that it has reached us, this news have reached us that your own sahib, your own Nabi is not looking at you, not talking to you, and the people, your community has forsaken you. So you can come and live with us. You can come live with us. He was a Christian king. Come live with us and we will give you honor and we will respect you. We will speak with you. We will make it easy for you. Give you whatever you want. So Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik, he became so angry. He tore that letter into pieces and threw that in the fireplace. That Shaitan is now attacking me. He's seen that I'm so weak that he's sending these messengers to me to bring me out of my iman. These were very difficult days. And he passed those 40 days and then 50 days. And then he says that became so difficult for me. Hatta idha dhaqat alayhimul ardu bima rahubat. That despite the expansion of this earth, it became constricted for me. And I found no refuge and sanctuary other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when 50 days were complete, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this revelation on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the tawbah of Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, and the Prophet sent a messenger to Hazrat Ka'b with this glad tidings, that give him this glad tidings that Allah has accepted his tawbah. And when Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, we heard this, he got this glad tidings, became so happy. And he came and he met the Prophet and he kissed the Prophet. And then in his happiness, he said that this barakah is because of my speaking the truth. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me this izzah, accepted my tawbah because of the truth that I spoke to you. And meanwhile, those munafiqeen, those hypocrites who had lied, who made up these excuses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened that up also in one ayat of the Quran, that they're lying. So when a person speaks the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives izzah to that person. I'll tell you another true story about a lawyer. And then we'll end. Who was who used to earn about 50,000 rupees every month. And this was a lot at that time, a few years ago. And then he met some alim, some sheikh, who said that you should always speak the truth. And that somehow it just went into his heart. Now, very difficult that you're a lawyer and you're being told to live a life where you only speak the truth. So he thought that I will change my profession. But then it was very difficult because he had no training, no other training. He spent his whole life as a lawyer. So next day he came to his chamber and he announced that, look, from now on, I'm only going to speak the truth. And if any person wants to come and give it and wants me to fight their case, you better be on the truth. If I realize during the proceedings that your case is not true, then I'm going to take away that case. I'm going to leave that case. So when the lawyer said this, now no person would come to him, right? And gradually he lost all, he began to lose his cases. And people were also surprised that this was such a successful lawyer with so much salary. And now look, he's become sort of, he's only going to speak the truth. And how will he work? How will he earn? And gradually he lost all of his cases. And no one would come to him. They would go to other people, other lawyers. And the judges were also amazed that look at this person, how foolish he is in making this decision. But the lawyer was completely strong, had istiqama, that I've made a decision that I will never ever lie in my life. 1 year passed and things became very difficult. The second year passed and things becomes even more difficult. And then finally, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started coming. And it came in such a way that the people around in that community, by that time, he had acquired this reputation of being a truthful person, that he wouldn't even take any false cases. So during that time, when any religious person, they wanted to fight, they had a case and they were looking for a lawyer, they would go to this lawyer and say that we are on the truth, we are on the haq, and if you can fight our case. And he would say that, look, I will not speak a lie. And if I realize that you are lying, then I will not take your case. And they would say, they would assure that, no, we are on the haq and someone has done zulm against us. So he would take those cases, he would fight. And even when you fight, so the judges also, with a very little investigation, they would realize that this person is saying the truth. And they would very quickly give the decision in the favor of that lawyer. So gradually the religious people, the pious people in that community, they would come to this lawyer and the lawyer would go fight and he would win the cases. And now even the judges also, they had etimad, they also began to have trust on this lawyer that every single time when he comes, he only takes those cases, those people who are on haq, who are on the truth. He doesn't take any random batil false cases. So the judge would also tend to give decisions in his favor. And then there came a time when that person who used to earn 50,000 rupees per month, because of speaking the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give him 100,000 rupees a month. This was the madad, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave him, increased him in his wealth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave him izzat. That same people now would come to him and they would honor him and respect him. Every person used to praise him, and he also had the wealth coming along. And another thing what happened at that time, that the government changed and the government decided that we need to now have some judges. We need to remove the old judges and bring new judges in the court system. And when they were looking for applications, people wanted to become a judge. A lot of people put their applications inside there. And at the top of the list was this person, was this lawyer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the judge. From being a lawyer to saying, yes, sir, my lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the judge and put him at that kursi, at that chair, at that throne. And that person at the time of the story was still alive. So if today in this zamana, a wakil, a lawyer can make an intention that I will not speak a lie, I will only speak the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make it easy for that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives izzat, honor and rank to that person. So we can also make that decision. We can also make that intention. It's not that difficult. So five things we mentioned today. These are five things which give izzat to a person. Number one is taqwa. Number two is humility. Number three is taluq with the Quran. Number four is studying ilm-e-deen. And the fifth thing is to speak the truth, no matter what the circumstances are. Inshallah, tomorrow we're going to look at the two other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are Al-Muzil and Al-Khafiz. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of certain actions, a person gets disgrace and zilla. So inshallah, tomorrow we're going to look and complete these two names. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to be able to do amal on these teachings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us izzah, honor, rank in the dunya, and may Allah ta'ala grant us izzat in akhirah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us, grant all of us the tawfiq to be able to do those actions which lead towards izzat, which lead towards respect and honor in this life and in the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawazu and humility and simplicity in our lifestyle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us a connection and love for the Quran. Make us lovers of the Quran and qari'e Quran and reciters of the Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also accept us for this ilm, for the ilm of deen, to be students of deen for our whole life. And may Allah ta'ala also grant all of us the tawfiq to be able to hold on to truth in every single aspect of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي العلى الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقرب حب من يقربنا إليك اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين. اللهم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى، اللهم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والبخل والجنب والحرم وغلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكيها، أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين.